Herman bet that they're going to get every penny out of me, every penny worth out of me, actually. Yes, sir. All right, very good. Actually, I am very, very pleased to have any opportunity to speak to the youth. And there are actually some churches, they're not sure that this is, he's a speaker, the Chinese speaker, maybe he could not engage with the American-born Chinese or young people. So, and then after I arrived, and they said, oh, would you like to speak to young people? I said, sure, I'd love to. And anyway, so I would focus and direct it on you guys, even though the some of the adults are here, just ignore them. Yeah, very easy, huh? Okay, you know that. That some of you know that I was, well, I'm, you know, once a doctor, always the doctor. And yeah, so I practice anesthesiologist. I practice as an anesthesiologist for almost 20 years. I came to the United States when I was 14. And when I first came, that my English was actually very minimal. And the reason that I went into anesthesia was because, number one, that I thought that my English was poor, I would not be a very good doctor communicating with people, and so it is better that I communicate with sleeping patients. So it's much easier. What had happened is that I told my wife, I said, no, I don't really want to be a doctor that I need to talk to people. And the least that I need to communicate, the better. And so that's how I chose anesthesia. And lo and behold, I did not realize that anesthesia is one of the best paying doctor's job. And I didn't know. So when the first time I got, my manager came up and says, how much do you want to charge? I said, what do you mean? He said, you can charge whatever you want. I said, really? And I said, what's the range? And then she said, from 30 to 50. And I said, I'll take middle, 40. He said, no, you're a young kid in the block. You charge 50. And then I realized that, man, wow. But that was not the reason I got into that. But you know that it was funny that most of my anesthesia career, I was doing the plastic surgery anesthesia to make people look beautiful. You see my last surgery, it did really good. And that's why, my daughter and I told you that we walked down the street. Whenever she walked down the street with me, she always said, Dad, is that real or is that fake? and then I'll go, oh, no, that's not real. Two, whatever. No. Yeah. But see that actually some people pay me to put them to sleep to make something smaller, bigger, and bigger, something bigger, big, small. No, I was having a great fun. And anyway, but about 10 years ago, they said, would you like to come to Vietnam? And I said, Vietnam, to do what? And they said, well, you can practice family medicines, to take care of the regular thing. I said, well, I'm not really good at all. I used to do this kind of surgery. They don't do any of those kind of things. What am I going to do there? And so they said, well, you come along. You can help out. So I did. So I went to Vietnam, and then we were in the village. And one of the most interesting patients that I had was somebody who was just as my age. He was strong, very thin, but then he was strong. And then I asked, through the translator, I asked him, I said, how old are you? And then he says, wow, same age. And you know that during the Vietnam War, I was short of 3 months, I would have been drafted and go to Vietnam. And So I through the translator, I told him, I said, hey, you know, can you tell him that we would have met each other's in Vietnam and we'll be fighting each other's. And then he laughed, and then I said, well, what do you do? And he says, oh, I'm a carpenter. Oh, I'm doing carpenter. And so I said to the translator, I said, can you tell him that my best friend is also a carpenter? You know? Yeah. And then the translator, who was still communist the nurse, and she would not translate that part. Anyway, here I had the chance to use my skill to share gospels, and so I want to not inspire you. I'm in no position to inspire you, but it don't have to be a doctor, but whatever that you want to do in the future, and you can always ask, Lord, I'm interested in this. And if you open the door, but my desire is to, you let me be whatever, and then I would like to serve you. In my profession, or use the time that I have, or use the position, the connection I have. Anyway. So after 2 weeks in Vietnam, I don't know, we're coming to the end. And then, you know, the best part, you know, the people there feel obligated to take us out shopping. You know, that, no, you go to a new country, they have to take you out to buy souvenirs. You know, I shop garage sales, so I'm into deals. So I'm not really interested in paying for things that, you know, it's markup. I'm into bargaining for real good deal. So everybody was buying American soldiers, you know, leftover Vietnam. Some of them were buying helmets. Some of them were even buying parachutes, you know, the leftover parachute. And some of them were buying fake, you know, AK-47 miniature things. And some of them buying anti-personnel mine, you know, fake ones. And I wasn't interested in that. So I was just kind of looking around. And here, you know, coming to this little stall with a Chinese lady. And so I was, she's got a little tray there. And I was searching through it. I was just kind of going, little trinket. Those are cheap trinkets. And I was looking through. And then here, my hands touched a little coin. Wow, I look at that thing, and then, you know, it's just this coin. It says, Guizhou Yinbi, Guizhou Provincial, Guizhou Government, and then had this little jeep in front. And it says one silver dollar in 1928. Okay, so I look at this thing. Oh, I'm looking at the coin. So I was very happy. But I immediately catch myself, you know, you don't want to act excited. So I pick it up. How much? The lady said, $10. No, $10. Too expensive. She said, $5? I said, no. No. I said, $2. And look at that, and then I don't want to know. So I said, any more? And she said, no. Grandfather come from China, wartime. Only one, last one. We have to sell it. I said, oh, stupid, you are stupid. This thing is worth money, I know this thing. So I look at the thing and then look at that, $1. Oh, no, $1. We need to live. We buy food. I said, $1. And I drop it. Of course, I wasn't going to. Okay, $1. So I got it for $1. Wow. I know this thing. Silver dollar, $1. I mean, this silver by itself is $13 an ounce. And also this thing, I know this thing. In eBay, they sell it for $2,000. So I said, ding. I went home And I was on the flight back. I couldn't even sleep. I thought about, wow, God, you're so good to me. I came all the way. I spent 2 weeks of my time, and the airline ticket's about $1,500, and plus what expense I have. You gave it back to me. $2,000. Oh, man, this is so good. I made a phone call. I even spent the money. I made a long-distance call and told my wife. I said, I got some present for you. It's worth a lot of money. And so what about my wife? So all the way I came back, and then I was doing surgeries, you know. And then my surgeon had to say, Jeff, can you focus on this thing? And we're going to do our job. No, stop talking about your coin. I said, this is a $2,000 thing. And for 2-3 days, I was always so excited about, no, this is so good. How can you pick up a deal like that? You know, and finally, another surgeon that we were doing this thing. And finally said, you know, if you're so excited about it, why don't you get it checked out and get it? So I said, sure, I will. This afternoon after we finish, I'd look up the phone book and I went to the coin shop. And then I went in there and look at that. And I said, you know, my aunt, she just passed away. And she sent me this coin. I put it on the counter. She said, she left this for me as a memento. How much is this thing worth? And she said, your aunt just died, huh? Didn't you just come back from Vietnam? I said, no. I said, no. My aunt passed away, you know. You know, pastor don't lie, right? We don't lie, but I just pretend. Yeah. So he says, well, you know, I've seen quite a few of this before. I said, what? This is very rare. He says, well, you know what? If you like, I can put it on the scale, and I can show you the book. You know, there's a coin Bible. No. And then he put it on the scale. And it was short by about 0.2 ounce. Wow. And I said, oh, no, that's because it's on the sides rubbed thin, right? And the old coin. So you lose some of the weight in silver. He said, no. But he said, if you want, pay $15. I can drop a drop of sulfuric acid on it. And if it's true silver, it will be green. But I bet this is going to be nickel, and so it'll turn black. And so, would you like to pay $15? No. And you know, I only pay $1 for this. And you know that I knew that I got cheated. And all that, the lady told me that was her grandfather got it from China. I was conned, you know? I thought I was acting pretty good, but she was a better actor. You know, today I'm here not talking about the coin, but I do want to tell you about what is genuine. You know, there are many things in life that look real, but they're not real, including what I do. Okay? My career was to make people look beautiful, to look gorgeous, but they're not. Okay? They're a bag of salt water. Okay? And I do it we do it for guys too. We make it for bulging muscles. We put implants. But you know that they're not real. And today, you know, she was telling me that this coin, it may look real to people who not very good, you know, you're not expert. But put it on the weight and the scale. It doesn't measure up with the true thing. And it cannot take the acid test. You know what I mean? You drop acid in it, and it'll burn a hole. Or it'll show its real thing. And so that's why I'm trying to tell you that I'm jumping in logic, but then the same thing happens. Many of the young people, especially the grown up in church, or we raise up from a Christian home, we think that we are Christians. And we think that we know Jesus Christ, and we act like one, and we talk like one. And if the people ask us questions, and he says, oh, do you know what's the name of the prophet that was got into to the trying to go on the ship? And then, you know the name, we all raise the hand. Jonah. Yeah. And we even know, what's Moses' father's name? And some of you may know. You know, I don't know. Is that important to remember that? Well, you know what I'm trying to say is that we may answer and we may talk like one, but our faith is not real. It doesn't stand the test. And so that's, you know, so my thing is that, you know, to remind people that, the young people that, especially us, that, you know, even for adults too, to make our faith genuine. You remember Jesus had told a parable of a farmer who went out to sow, remember? It landed on four different kind of grounds. What's the first one? What's that? That's right. Yeah. No, see, because it didn't have any soil, and the birds come and take it. You know that there are young people, there are people who come to church, and you probably were later on, you look back and you said, oh yeah, I grew up with a whole bunch of other kids. Whatever happened to them? Didn't they come to our vacation Bible school? Do you guys have vacation Bible school? No? Never mind. Yeah. But you know, the people come to vacation Bible school, and then they were in the youth group for a while, but whatever happened to them? See, that's what happened. The message, the hearing of the gospel, they were in the church, but then birds took them away. You know, the Bible that talked about birds is who? Satan. Yeah. Satan took the message away. And so you ask them, and says, well, did you ever go to church? Yeah, I went to church. Did you ever believe? No. I was in church, that's all. What about the Jesus parable that the farmer, some of the seeds then landed where? Wow. You're one of those. Very good. Anybody else? Give the girls a chance. Any girls know that? Huh? Well, it landed in rocky soil. That's right. In between the rocks, there's a little bit of soil there. And the seeds landed in there, and it grew a little bit. It grew. It did. And then what happened? What? The sun scorched it. The sun came up, and then it was so hot, and there was no water, and because the soil was a little bit, and then it died. Well, yeah, there are people like that. You know, you thought that they were in Sunday school, and they were in youth group, but then a little bit of it. And then when they went to college, and they got no more waters, and then there was not enough soil. Yeah, it did grow, but it couldn't take the sun. It couldn't take the phrase. It could not take the heat. See? And it died. All right, somebody better beat this guy. Well, what's your name? Huh? Alexis. Okay. Now, Jesus said that there was the farmer who went out and he sowed and sowed. And then there's another seed that landed on another soil. Give Alex a break. Here we go. What's up? Yeah. Yeah, it landed in nice soil. It was actually good soil. But then it was started to grow. Hey, that's pretty good. But then the weeds started to grow, right? And what happened to the weeds? Somebody smoked it. Okay. See, so some of the adults missed this joke. Hey. Okay. All right. See? What happened to the weeds? That's right. See? There was good soil, but then there was a lot of weeds. There's a lot of things. And then it's choking it. That's why you need to smoke the weeds. That's true. Anyway, you got to get rid of weeds. That's right. But, you know, I bought a house. And in one of the rooms, we found out that it had grow lights everywhere. And then it had double deadbolt lock. And the realtor said, I bet they're growing weeds in here. And I said, weren't they just growing geraniums? And I says, no way. Look at all the grow lights. No. And anyway, coming back to getting rid of weeds, not growing them. Anyway, so there are people whose faith, they did have faith. You know, and when they were in church, when they were young, and then they grow and grow. And then you know, they were also serving in church, and they were doing other things. And they seemed to serve the youth leaders, and then they were in retreats and all that. They do other things. But then they start getting in college, and they start getting involved. And then when they graduated, and then they started to get in other distraction in life. There's pursuit of ambitions. They're doing hobbies. There are other things that start to take up their time. You know, people who started buying a boat, and now every day they'll be waxing the boat. And there are people who want to buy a car. You know, see some of your friends, and the next thing, their whole life is around the car. They're waxing the car. Right and left? No, that's not the movie. You know which one I'm talking about, right? Karate Kid, that's right. Yeah. But you know that, you start to get involved. You know, like my son. No, he wouldn't even touch his grandmother's Honda Civics. But anyway, but he's into cell phones. No, he's researching, he's downloading this, downloading that, trying different applications. No. So his whole life is all into this phone. And then we're downloading music, and then we're into, doing this online things. Yes, and then we started things to start crowding out. And yes, the school will be busy. And when you said that, maybe when you after school, then maybe I won't be so busy. And there will be work, and there will be dating, there will be friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, and many other things. And then you started, those are the weeds. And then, yeah, the plant does have life, but then it just doesn't grow very well. Okay. Other than Alex, and what's your name? Jeff. Are you Jerry's son? Oh, this is the other Jeff that I haven't met. Okay, all right, very good. Okay, Bruce Lee, that's good. Yeah. Okay, very good. And then, you know the last one. Jesus said that when he sowed the farmer sowed the seeds, it lands where? Alex, please, go ahead.
In the good soil without weeds or anything.
That's right. And then what happened? That's right. And then they grow and grow and grow. And see, that is what healthy, genuine spiritual life is all about. genuine, healthy spiritual life. You know, today I'll start showing a little PowerPoint, and there is a sad reality, that's a tragedy, that only one out of three kids growing up in church, once they leave home, they will continue to stay with the faith. You know, that is very sad. One out of three. And I hope you beat the average here. I hope you'll be the exception. I hope all of you, once you leave home, then you will still continue to be a Christian, still to pray, still to attend church, and still to serve God. But we need to be reminded that we need to have genuine faith. And I want to just show you a few PowerPoints. Those come from big research. And also that I wrote a book, but you guys won't read that anyway. So if you read it, then your SAT Chinese will be off the chart. Yeah. But anyway, if you can read that, you can read my books and understand what it says, you'll get a special scholarship. Yeah, with no help from your parents, okay? All right. Anyway, all right. So, I'm showing to you because this is more for the adult and the parents, but I think it would apply. And so they've done this big research and interview hundreds, maybe thousands of this people that once they're in school, college, away from home, so that your mother cannot say, wake up, get up, let's go to church. You know, nobody drag you out of bed, nobody force you to go to church anymore. And these are the kids that still, when they're in college, they still go to bed early on Saturday, and the Sunday morning they get up, and then they find their friends and go to church. Okay? So, they can endure the heat. You know that when you go to college, it's going to be tough. And here, no, you have friends. But in college, once you're in college, and then people say, come on, let's stay up and watch Saturday Night Live. That's party. Let's have a drink. Let's do this. And then for you to say, sorry, I'm going to go to bed early because tomorrow I got to get up. And people are going to go, what are you going to do? Go jogging? And it's very hard to say, I am going to go to church. Oh, you'll be very embarrassed. And so you're going to feel very, no, I better not, because nobody go. And you're going to, am I going to put my Bible away? And not there. People are going to come in and see chemistry. And what's that book? And then when you go out there and have the cafeteria, eat dinner and meal, and then I'm not going to pray. You know, it's embarrassing. Nobody does that. Well, you know, it's under, there's a lot of pressure out there, and there's so much homework, and there's things to do. You got ball game to go to, now you got boyfriend calling, and you gotta I am your friends and all that. And you don't really have time for any of this. But these people that they interview and then says that we still continue to pray, we still continue to read the Bible, and we still go to church. And when they talk to them, and then they find out that they have three things very much in common. Remember, were you guys here Friday night? It seemed so long ago, wasn't it? Yeah. And I mentioned there are three F's that's very important for youth ministry. What's that three F's? Come on. True, fun, and friend. Yeah, hey, you got it right. Good. And this part is also three F's as well. And okay, there are three things that would determine that whether a young person, when they're away from home, they will still continue to have genuine faith and continue on. What's that three F? Can anybody give me the first answer? Huh? Faith? Very good. Friends? What's your family? Wow! Somebody read my book. Yeah. Let's see that. Let's see that. This is what there's a Chinese phrase, 三个臭皮匠. Hey, there's three of you and can put it together and then your team project and then you can write a book too. See? Okay, let's show. Yeah. And the survey show friends. That's right. Hey, I've got to watch my time. I've got to leave pretty soon. What time is it? 12:21. How much more time I got?
2 hours.
I want to be home for Christmas now. Anyway. About 15 more minutes. Well, maybe 10 minutes only? 12:30. Oh, okay. Oh, just on my way to give me two hamburgers, junior burger. All right. I'll be happy. Anyway, the first F is friends. You know, what really determines that when you go to college away from home, the number one determining factor is whether you have a Christian friend. You remember the story of Daniel? You know? No? Woo-hoo. Yeah, which Daniel? Somebody said, yeah. There's only one Daniel in the Bible. Yeah. Anyway. No, Daniel, no, you know, your Sunday school teachers were correct. That Daniel was able to endure his faith. No, he was in the rough situations. But then he had friends. And the friend said, we're going to stick together. And we're going to say we're not going to drink this wine that's been worshipped, the idol, they used to worship the idol. We are not going to touch this food. We're not going to pollute ourselves with this. You know, if it's Daniel by himself, it's going, oh, there's a peer pressure. But then now you have a peer group together. See, that's what happened. If you are in a college, and let me tell you, this is, if I can may impart on this, especially some of the parents back there. If they ever send you to college, if they ever send you to college without connecting you with the fellowship, Christian fellowship, if they ever done that, it's called parental malpractice. Okay? You should sue your church. Yeah. Forever sending you out without connecting with the school's fellowship. You know, my greatest fear of all these years practicing medicine is somebody going to sue me because this side is bigger than the other. Yeah. Or something leak. You know? That was my malpractice. But you know, if your parents ever sent you out without connecting you and says, hey, here's a fellowship. Because what had happened is that if you go to a school, and then your first friend, second friend, third friend, fourth and fifth friends are all Christians. So you go to a new place, somebody say, hey, come, hey, tonight we're going to go bowling, and tomorrow night, we're going to have pizza. And then Sunday we go to church. See? All of a sudden your new friends are all Christians. And you're likely to go bowling, go pizza, and go church, right? And then go Bible study. And then because you have a Christian friend. But if your first friend and the second friend The one who says, hey, let's go party. Let's go, hey, go have Chinese, go have boba tea, and then we go do this, do that. And then your fifth friend and sixth friend comes along and says, let's go to church. You already got commitment with the five friends, right? And it makes it hard. I got to go boba. I got to go watch a movie. And we're going to go hang out. And here, Christian friends, you're disconnected. For young people, it's so important. So let me remind this church and your parents, don't commit parental malpractice. Connect with Christian friends. And I know it is hard. You know, the last thing you want to do is for your parents to decide who your friends are. Right? Yeah. I don't want any of my parents' friends. Anybody who my parents introduced me are probably no good. My mom is trying to use that to control me. Well, it is true. It is true. It is true. But, you know, just like my daughter, my second daughter is very always apprehensive about who I connect her with. She says, no, I don't want this Chinese fobby parents. I don't want to stay with them. I don't like them. Your friends is always that kind of friends. I said, what do you mean? He said, okay, she wouldn't do it her way. I said, it's fine. But try to look for church friends. It's important. There is a reason for that. Daniel wasn't alone. Okay, all right. Second friend, a second F. You got to have your own faith. That's correct. You got it right. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't pray, if you don't go to church before you leave home, you can't expect somebody to go afterward. Okay? So, if you pray very little, later on you're going to pray very little. And there is a misprint, because I have so many versions of this. The last one, Bible reading. If you don't read the Bible before, you're very likely that you're not going to be interested in going to church. You've got to have some faith of your own. That gotta be have some life. Yes, it is true. When you were small, your mom can carry you, push the stroller. And when you're a little bit older, they'll drag you. And then a little bit older, they'll pull you. Come, go to church. And they'll bargain with you. But once you get your wheels, sayonara, no more church. Yeah, that's right. I don't like Chinese church. Yeah, but that's okay. If you don't like, I'm not supposed to say this. If you don't like Chinese church, if you want to go to church, try Korean church, try another church. That's fine. Strike that. Erase that. I never did say that. I deny I ever said it. But, you know, you need to have your own spiritual life. It's not the church. Okay? There are many people that grow up from small church that I come to know that they have solid faith. And then it has nothing to do with church. And there are people who grow up in big church with many programs. You know the youth group, when it together youth group, it's 80 people. We have our own youth chapels. We have all the activities. We do things 100 people at a time. But you still, 3 out of 4 disappear. It is nothing to do with church. Faith, it's you and God, but then your parents have the responsibility. Your parents got to provide that environment. And that is what the third F is. The third F, and you are right, it's the family. And there are some mothers who are sitting here, and if I won't ask this right in front of your parents, it's so embarrassing. But if you think about it, when you're taking a shower And you think about, my mom and my dad. Does my mom really love Jesus? Does mom is really involved in church? You know that? Your mom, the influence is going to continue on. And you can't shake that. Because mother has that important thing. And then when you think about, well, I remember my mom says, whenever you have problems, you should pray to God. Yeah, that's right. I'll do that. And your mom never said, I'm not saying your mom nag you and control you. But mother, leave that godly influence on all of us. You know, when I was small, I used to ask my parents, I said, Mom, why do we keep inviting, why do all those people come to our house and live? The visiting speakers, and sometimes we open our house and then there are so many people. And then I'm thinking about, they eat, and they don't pay. That's a lot of food. And my mom is always very, very hospitable. No, she's always cooking the extra better food. No, it's not just same food, no, but when people come, and then she'll cook extra better food. And we're just wondering, why is that? And then later we appreciate mother is very serious. Mother was really committed. Mother really see that her faith is not just words, but then she practices. And then we see the benefit of entertaining strangers. I mean, I don't mean inviting somebody in, but then the Bible, when they speak of strangers, that you, when you entertain people that you don't know, but as Christians, you'd be surprised you entertain angels. And see that the biblical promise that we live in the Christian home with a devout mother, a godly mother, and then we appreciate it. And now, when our sons and says, Mom and Dad, why are we so committed? Why do we have to go to church so early? Why do we have to stick around and be the last one to leave church? Because the last one who leaves church always get to clean up the place. You see? And then we realize that the parents, the mothers, all this dedication, we say, oh yeah, the faith my parents had, my mother had, was real. And that, my friends, would have long, long impact. And that's kind of like roots, deep roots. And then to bring the little nutrients, the water, and that your faith, that little plant that grows, needs all that. Well, you know what? For when they interview all the people that continue on the faith, they always talked about, oh yeah, my family, we eat dinner together a lot. I'm not saying there's something magical about dinner. No, you have to eat macaroni. You can't eat that Chinese, no, that stuff. No, this having dinner together is that father, mother, and the kids together. And there's opportunity to pray together and give thanks and for father and mother to exert spiritual influence. And it also gives a sense of security that our families are together. You know, and I'll say this to all the guys, you know, the father's the best present to your wife, it's not, excuse me, young people, please plug your ears. Yeah. It's not lingerie, it's not roses, it's not chocolate, it's not diamond ring. It is to love their mother, the kid's mother, okay? And when the kid's growing up and it says, well, my mom and my dad love each other. Oh yeah, they fight all the time. Yeah, but we know that they love each other. You know, mom and dad are bickering again, but that's okay. I know they love each other. It's so important. My mom and dad, they're Christians. Yes, I know that. Even though they know that they kind of fight, I wish they don't fight so much. But they're committed. And so the kids growing up and it says, yeah, when I grow up, I want to marry somebody like my dad. And then for the guy says, yeah, I'm looking for girls, it's kind of like my mom type. You see, you have something to look forward to. No, you don't want to give your kid, no, it says, I want to get out of this house. I hate them. My mom, I hate it because they're not real. See, when the young people that says, "Hey, my parents, they love each other, and we have great time together. Even dad was busy, mom was busy. Even though we went through bankruptcies, but then we were still together. And we always pray, and I remember that. You know, in our house, we started traditions long time ago when our twins were born, so that's almost 17 years ago. We started that whenever we eat dinners, we hold hands. What are we talking about? When we eat dinner and pray, we hold hands, okay? No, I'm not trying to say we hold hands and put a spoon trying to feed each other. You should try that sometime. Yeah. You hold hand and then you scoop the rice and then feed the next guy. It's a good game. But we hold hand and we pray. And we ask our kids to pray once. One person to pray once. And then adult pray once. You see now we have four kids and four adults and their grandpa. So we rotate once a week. And then we go counterclockwise, but that's so we know. So what I'm trying to say is that we always do that. And it becomes part of tradition. And then later on when we go out to eat at McDonald's, we eat at McDonald's a lot anyway. So when you have so many kids, and sometimes they have good coupons. No? And so we eat there, and then we still hold hands. And even though now my twin boys are teenagers, and they are kind of embarrassed, so now we don't hold hands, we just kind of touch. And immediately after prayer, but that's okay. No. But it's no. My older daughters, my daughters are that. No, we still hold hands. That's the way that we do. And we hope that they will continue on. It's a way that, hey, this is our family tradition, and this is how we do when we gather, we pray, and we eat the meal. We thank. And when we eat at Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we still ask the kids to one of the kids to pray and one of the adults to pray. And then the kids would say, "Yeah, but we don't have to pray twice, can we?" And we would continue on. We insist on that. It's okay. You want to just touch your hand? Thank you, Jesus, for this. Amen. It's okay. We do. The habits, the traditions. And we wanted our kids to know that we do enjoy this. And you know that three F's. Those are the three F's that determines. It will help the young people to continue on with their faith. Okay. What are the three F's for this youth worship again? Youth ministry? Food, fun, and friends. What are the three F's that afterward? Friends, faith, and family. And you know that friends and friends are not the same friends, you know? Remember? Those are the friends and in church. But then if you don't connect and find friends, it's very hard to continue on with your faith. And your parents and church are committing spiritual malpractice. I'm not threatening you guys. Okay, let's bow our head and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. And we thank you for this group of young people. Lord, we just want to bless them. We pray that you use them and you protect them. and you help their parents to raise them up, to provide them the nourishment and the nurturing that they need. And we pray for this church that it will bless them as well. And above all, we pray that you'll come and make it real for them, their faith in you. And we thank you again. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much.